The All Smiling Faces podcast is now sponsored by TyreSpot, the Northeast's leading tyre supplier with branches across the region. TyreSpot don't just do tyres, they cover everything from servicing to wheel alignment. They can handle every aspect of your car's maintenance. For more information, visit tyrespot.co.uk. Enjoy the episode. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Always Smiling Faces podcast on the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel. It is a very special night. We are going live at 11:30. This never happens. It's deadline day, but there's bigger news on Tyneside. Newcastle United have just reached a cup final. The lads are going to Wembley. We're going to Wembley. Decker.
Tell your ma, you know.
Get it!
Tell me, ma.
Boys, inform the mother. Tell your ma. We are off to the capital. Eddie Howe's Mags have done it. The first time.
Come out.
So the lads have done it. It's Decker. I know over the last couple of weeks, well, the last week or so, we've been nervous. I think we've been downplaying it a little bit. Okay, but we said, oh, we're going to Wembley. It's going to happen. Doubts have set in at times, but Decker, they've done it.
God, my voice, I'm struggling. It was just amazing, isn't it? I mean, to be fair, I was very, very confident like before the game, and probably more confident than most on this table, I think, because I know Mark was rightfully not playing it down, but like cautious.
Just be cautious.
And I was just last night. I was like, well, God, man, we're going to win. And they've done it, and it's been a lifetime, like 24 years.
24 years,
yeah. Yep. That's a hell of a long time, and it's just unbelievable the turnaround of everything, and it's all came to this to the head, and it's all come to this moment, which is unbelievable. Can't believe it, to be honest.
Mark, there's times in that ground tonight where we took the lead early on, we did, and I looked at you and I just went. Because I know you've been quite reserved with this one, and you've been trying to calm all of us down. We went 1-0 early on. Sean Longstaff gets his goal, which he's been
absolutely, he deserves it.
He's been dying for that. He's been begging for that one. Had loads of chances. He scores that goal, takes it really well, and I look at you and I just go, "We're off, mate. We're off." At that point, did you believe?
I had a bit of a funny feeling down there.
I definitely had a funny feeling down there. It's been there for a while. Yeah, it's in moments like that you can't help but get carried away. Like in the whole emotion of the moment, the situation, the way we take the lead early on in the game as well, which you know is a big help
to give that.
It's not going 2-0 up. It just, I mean, it still feels like now. It just feels completely surreal. That this has happened, like
so we met each other in the pub afterwards. I know I said, you know, you and Mark at the games, but we met each other in Shearer's after the game. And Decker, you said that Longstaff goal feels like it was a million years ago, because that was the longest 90 minutes of football I've ever sat through.
It honestly felt that way to me. I referenced a few times
the 25 minutes of extra time at the end didn't help, like,
yeah. Well, at least that was down for 24 of them, I thought the first half, it was a long first half as well, to be honest. I thought it was a long game.
Bats had them in that first half as well, mate.
Oh, some beautiful football, like really beautiful football. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think I need to apologise a little bit here, actually, because I'm sure that I kept referencing a certain team that's in front of me and saying Longstaff, I did say this, didn't I? That Longstaff would be the one that would come out.
So you wanted Maxi in for, not necessarily for Longstaff, but wanted Joel Linton to drop in that midfield role, the centre midfield role.
Yeah.
And for Longstaff to lose that spot and Maxi coming in on left hand side.
Would have been out.
I've sat here and said it. Longstaff's important. He does the unsexy things, the things that don't grab people's attention, don't get get the headlines.
I don't want to like go back over things we already touched on, but I think a lot of the reason that people are saying Longstaff may need to come out of the team is because he was getting those chances and not scoring them.
Yeah,
okay, and they're crucial moments of the game. Tonight he proved it, and we discussed this last night on the podcast, Decker, that on the Over Smiling Faces podcast, that the interview which he'd done with the club, he mentions that a lot, and obviously that's playing on his mind as well, that he needs to stop trying as hard as what he has been and just hit the target. And he'd done that, and you could see that the way he hit and struck that ball tonight, all that he wanted to do was just make the keeper make a move.
He wasn't like he wasn't trying to murder the ball, was he? On either on that one,
he wasn't trying to just smash it
for almost his hat trick. He murdered the ball, which was a wonderful strike. Oh, but I think when you've had as many chances as he's had and obviously skied them and whatever it may be, Mark commented as soon as we met after a big hug about Longstaff getting in the middle, you know, arriving late, and for a player that's missed as many big chances as he has, some players might not want to get in there. They might not want to. Oh, I'll just stay out here. I'll be all right here. No. Bless him, he was getting in the middle, and he could have had three or even four the night. And you know, the first goal though was the one, wasn't it? That just settled the mood. It just got off to the races.
So, at what point do we actually build a statue of Sean Longstaff's cat? Just his cat.
I mean, what a night for him, man! Like, think about.
So we mentioned. We also, I know people that watch the Monday night live show that we do. We did touch on this, but we mentioned that if you look at the likes of Dan Byrne now, he's a fan living the dream, and he's epitomising the takeover of this football club of where we've gone in the last, what, handful of, well, 16 months, is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's over a year now. Sean Longstaff tonight, for a local lad to bag a brace, send us to a cup final, he's not sleeping him.
It's the stuff of dreams, isn't it? Like, everybody that's sat at home watching, listening this, you've all dreamt of pulling on that black and white shirt, scoring a goal at the Gallagher end, taking the team to a final at Wembley, and it's happened for him. You cannot ask for more than that as a Newcastle fan. It's like you say, it's the stuff of dreams. We've all been there, we've all done it, and he gets to live it. And it was a nice touch that after him scoring, the song goes round the ground of he's one of our own, because he is. He's born and bred in the area. He loves the club, and you know, you've just seen that how much it means to him, because he has, although he's been playing well, it hasn't gone right for him in front of goal. But tonight it did. It clicked, and God, you can't even say any more so than for that second goal, because it was unbelievable.
There's a great chant that's just came in by Chris Mullen. I'm not sure if this is a chant which has already done the rounds, but he says, Longstaff is a Geordie. He wears a Geordie hat. He loves the tune, drinks the brew, and loves his fucking cat.
Amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Class.
But Dega, tonight, that first 45 minutes, cloud nine, wasn't it?
It was some of the football was as good as you'll see from us. It was that Eddie Howe style of football, right? We're winning
triangles
the ball
really, everywhere,
really high up the field, winning the ball back, loads of energy. Southampton couldn't live with it. They were trying to pass out from the back. We're winning the ball back early. As you say, the second goal, my God, to start all the way from Dan Byrne, the play between Joe Willock and Joe Linton was just absolutely magnificent. And just to reference, you know, you remember Matty Longstaff scored against Man United at that end.
Yep.
And that was a moment where everyone was like, God, like, as a Newcastle fan to be able to do that must be amazing. And then you think your brother has went and done that tonight.
Yep.
Like, it is stuff of dreams, like, it really is. And you have to credit them, because, listen, I think the one thing I've never questioned is the guy's work rate and all of that. But tonight, like, when you needed them moments of quality to finish, he did it. And you have to give him so much credit for that. You really do.
And I think 90% of his shots tonight, I think he had about five. They all hit the target, apart from one, if I remember.
There was one which he did have a big chance.
Was that the left foot?
Hat trick?
The Gallagher.
Yeah.
It was a lovely move as well, wasn't it? Again, that move was fantastic.
Yeah. But the turnaround from how bad he's been in front of goal to bag two, and I keep on saying this, I still can't believe this, to send us to Wembley for a local lad to do that. And it was a touch of class for the fans to turn around and start chanting, he's one of our own.
He must have loved that. Must
Dan Byrne's had that recently.
Yeah.
It's been Dan Byrne. That's
he was getting it tonight as well, obviously, the Dan Byrne Blythe song.
Obviously, Longstaff, he's got it. So he must be absolutely buzzing tonight. Yeah. That cat's going to get some strokes. Like,
he'll be up all night stroking his cat because he ain't, like you said, he ain't sleeping.
He should go out the night. Simic's not going down the night. Like, if he goes out the night, like, I'm telling you, because he'd have the time of his life.
He came so close with a hat trick as well. In the second half of the game, he has a great strike on goal. Great save. Oh, by it was
unbelievable, that.
Honestly, I would just love to just have a brief 30 seconds in Sean Longstaff's head tonight. Because when he scored the first, unbelievable. When he scored that second, he must have about like close to jizzing in his pants, like
100%, mate. 100%, yeah. I mean, it's
because I was,
especially where he's came from. Like, he's talked about, you know, the dark days that he had, you know, in the last couple of years, under Steve Bruce, not being able to get into the team, feeling like he was forced out. You know how it affected his mental health, and that there's just been that kind of comeback story from him, like getting back into the team, playing regularly, and putting winner in the final. My first final since 1999.
It's been a long time coming, hasn't it? It's been a long time coming.
I hope it turns out better than the last two finals that we've been to.
Do you know what it is? Like, it might not. It might not, right? Let's be fair, right? We're going to be playing against Man United. Porter's watching, by the way. He's a Man United fan. And like, we know how good them are. They're playing really, really well. But I still think, listen, like, for the turnaround of where we are to be in a final this early on in the, I hate sometimes using this word, but the project, like
the journey
is a better word. It's huge, isn't it? It's huge. And we really have deserved it. It's unbelievable. I think, I don't want to make this negative. I don't want to make this negative, but I thought that the second half was rough going.
That doesn't matter.
I know, but it was rough going. It was rough.
It doesn't matter.
It was rough going.
It's one of those nights where the result far outweighs the importance of the performance. I was going to say take 3 points, but it's not 3 points. It's the victory the ultimate thing that we need.
What feels like another victory, because in the moment when Bruno got sent off, immediately in my mind he's missing the final. And to me, that is, well, I'm not saying might as well not go on. Like, but I'm not saying that. But I mean, like, Jesus, like, we're in big trouble. And then when you hear the whispers and start to learn that that's not the case, and he's going
to
be all right.
Yeah, expect him to miss three games for a red card, I would have thought.
I wasn't sure why three
league games before the cup final, so it should be first game back that way.
This is a night, and this is a recording of celebration. Let's not too much on the game. Let's just focus on where we are right now and what that result has done tonight. Because if you look at when the takeover first went through, and Decker, you mentioned the project and the journey which we're on, ahead of schedule, massively ahead of schedule. We sat third in the Premier League. We've reached...
Well, the first target was five years.
5 years.
5 years, and we've done it in, like you've just said there, 15 months.
And I'm not sure, but if you win this final, is that not just an automatic European spot in the Europa League? Europa's, or the conference, or whatever
Europa
that may be.
Conference, I think.
But it's one of them, okay? So we're going to have two hits at this now. We're third in the Premier League, okay? So we've got to drop a fair few places to
that's not tempting.
Well, to drop out of that position European football. Yep. And now you've got that chance as well. That is absolutely phenomenal. And even the owners and anybody involved with this football club right now will be looking, thinking, shit, like, we've done it in the first year.
Yeah.
The first full season.
Yeah,
and I know we've had a lot of luck on our side. If you look at how well the players that have done that have came in, okay, they've done very well, even with massive injuries in that team as well.
We've made a tough time of this League Cup run. Yes, people have said that we've had a favourable kind of draw and stuff like that, and possibly at times we have, but you know, obviously we beat Tranmere the first time round. Crystal Palace, we had to go to penalties, and we needed Nick Pope to pull off three saves to take us through. Then into the follow-up games against Bournemouth, we made hard work of that.
You got Leicester, yeah, but
you still play Premier
League opposition. At the end of the day, like,
throughout,
you know, when you reach the final, whoever you've played's gone out the window. You know what I mean? Obviously, Southampton will probably say, "Well, beat Man City." It couldn't be us, though. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, like, it warrants nothing in the end. But listen, I mean, it's just an unbelievable moment. But the reference, like, even that you say there, I mean, third in the league and in a cup final. I mean, it's insane, man. It's absolutely insane. It's insane. And I still say, listen, I know that there'll be fans out there who go, aye, but you've still spent loads of money and you've still done this and you've still done that. Of course, absolutely. But, hey, man, I still, Maxi kind of get a game. I still seen Jake and Murphy playing the night. There's still players that are there that are no offence here, but I just, for us to get to the final and be third in the league, like, I would have thought it would have took so much more money to be spent and so many more players to come in the door to be where we are at the minute.
In the grand scheme of things, though, like, we all know as fans that, yes, we've spent money, but we haven't spent a lot of money. When you consider, you know, you look at the other clubs that are in and around us, you know, even down the league below us that aren't have anywhere near the time that we are at the moment, have spent way in excess of us.
Yeah, and that's where all the credit in the world goes to how it goes to Eddie Howe, to what he's, the tuning he's getting out of them players. It's just unbelievable. And there was moments tonight, man, like the football, man, like, and I keep saying this in terms of the pressing. Off the ball, the work off the ball, when we're getting the ball, like the 1-2s, the movement, the fluid of the team are just so good, man, at times. I appreciate the second half was poor. Maybe the nerves of us gone to them, and I don't know. The second half was poor. And in fairness, you know, another brave decision was he tried to make a change in that moment as well. He brought on three substitutions to try and change the momentum of the game. All right, that didn't
work this time.
It didn't work. But
well, I think it would have, though, had we not have then... Obviously, had to have gone down to 10 men and changed things around as well.
I didn't think the changes worked at all. But that's football. It happens, right? It happens. Like, yeah, you look, you go back 7 days before that, them two exact changes changed the game. He brings them on this time to try and get a bit more of a foothold in the game. It didn't work, but it didn't cost well. And that's the most important thing.
If anybody does have any questions, send them our way. We'll go through them as quickly as we can. We'll probably go for another 15 minutes.
I've got a question.
Okay.
How good was the atmosphere before the game?
Oh, unreal. Unreal. Well, we got in about 7:45.
I think it's the earliest we've ever been in before a kickoff.
Well, no, I think recently, since the takeover, we've probably been going in 10, 15 minutes before kickoff, where in previous season, we've been going 10, 15 minutes after.
Maybe it's 5, 10 minutes before.
Well, we're always there before kickoff, and that's not the case what it used to be like with us going in the ground. But the atmosphere, once again, similar to the Leicester game, but up another level.
It was. I just stood and looked at it and smiled. Like, I just, it was magnificent to look at. Like, looking along the East Stand, the flags, all of the scarves in the air, everybody singing along, looking across the whole length of the Leeds, that's up the Millburn, literally from top to bottom of that stand was just full of people just in the moment, enjoying themselves, and it just was unbelievable. Couldn't stop smiling.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
I'm a real sense of, like, real pride there for me. Like, I was like, looking, going, fuck, it's amazing. Like, and I love how the flags are everywhere now. And it's obviously how something grows, isn't it? You know, when War Flags were doing the Gallagher, and every time you were, you know, everyone was focused on that one area, and rightfully so, because the presentations have been magnificent constantly. But then to start adding flags and plotting them everywhere, and then now, like, as you said tonight, of course, with the scarves as well. It's moments where it's just sheets of black and white just going wild. It's just unbelievable, like, and it really does help.
So we're talking about the atmosphere there, and at full time, I showed you this video in the corner the way over at the studio. Chris Mullen, the one that came with the chant as well, said there's a video doing the rounds taking at Gateshead Quayside at full time, fans in the ground singing "Tell Me Ma, Me Ma," and that is like the other side of the river, and that is loud. Unbelievably loud, and it just shows you just how buzzing this fan base is right now. Like, we're celebrating every single win and every single Premier League win, but tonight I took a deep breath at full time. There.
We didn't leave that ground until about 25 minutes after the game had finished.
Yeah, you've got to just sit and absorb all of that, though, didn't you? It was very, very similar to the game after the takeover, the Spurs one, where you're in before because you know what's happening. You want to be in that moment. And tonight was the same, where you look back on tonight and think, I was there.
Yeah, to be fair, there's a game that honestly will stay with me forever, is the Arsenal last game of the season when they got the big picture at the end of the game. I get all the families and everyone was towards it. Yeah. That was one of the most special nights ever, that for me, that game. And that tonight was very similar. For obvious reasons, you're getting to the final, but... it's funny, you know, it's very hard, you know, when you've set the bar there, and you just referenced there, the first home game after the takeover when we scored within a minute, the atmosphere there, it was white hot. Like, it was unbelievable how amazing it was. And there's moments in time where, and I'll reference the Arsenal game again, where how can a display be better? How can the atmosphere, how can it be better? And it's hard when the bar's that high, like, but we keep doing it.
But you know what it is, Dick? We're talking about how can wall flags get better? What can they do next, right? But tonight they went back to basics.
Yeah, you're right. No.
Like, they just took them back down to basics.
There was no display.
And just the additions of asking fans to bring scarves. Yeah. That takes it that next level.
Yeah.
So you don't always have to spend more money, have a bigger and better display. You can always just bring it back down. And that's exactly what they've done today.
That's a good point. Because I mean, I love the Eddie Howe.
The big surfer.
The couple of weeks before there, which was amazing. And that's a good point, actually. It's a good point that they didn't have a big display, but just having everyone a part of it. That's what it is, isn't it?
I think it was literally just that they'd been in every single cupboard in that ground where they keep flags and just got them all out and just said, yeah, have at it. Because they were everywhere.
They were.
Thunderstruck, by the way. I know I had it in the car blasting, but that was mint, wasn't it?
It was good.
It was good.
So we were discussing this on the way, Thunderstruck by AC/DC being played. I can't remember another time that being played, and I love that song anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And tonight before kickoff, I was buzzing together.
It just worked, didn't it? It just seemed to buzzing. Work. It was strange, but it works.
It's
so
just
well.
I think it's the long intro and the build up into the song. Yeah. It just gets everybody into it. But obviously, he had Big River playing. He played the Toon Toon Black and White Army a few times. Mm. And then obviously, the local hero comes on, and
the best.
That's it. We're in.
And to be fair, I think we should reference Anthony Gordon and Ashby coming on the field.
Yeah,
got a huge.
So before kickoff, they came on the field, and they're walking in the centre circle over the funny 8 mile. I think it is that's in the centre circle. What on top of that, and even that noise at that point, people chanting Anthony Gordon, and I love that moment. It was very. We spoke last night about how the players welcomed Anthony Gordon to the team. We just did exactly the same tonight and more. Because he must, from what he's gone at Everton and how it's ended in Everton the last 2 weeks, to what he must have felt walking on that pitch tonight, not even playing, to have his name chanted like that by 52,000 fans is mental.
Can I ask, were you surprised?
I think fans were living in the moment, if I'm being honest. I've never heard it before for a player coming on the field and being basically announced to the fan base. I think fans were living in the moment. And I liked it. I really did like it.
I did. And I was shocked, though. I have to be fair. Yeah. I was shocked. Now, I was that shocked. I was singing it. So hey, there we go, right? I was in the moment. But I was surprised when the chant happened. Wonderful, though. Wonderful at the same point, because there's been a lot of talk about everyone being 50-50 on this player and blah, 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 blah. And you know what it is? Probably even he's thinking the 50-50 on this. Christ almighty. In Andy Howe's press conference, I think Keith Downey asked him. Oh, the fans are very split on this one.
He did.
So he's walking out there, and you hear, and he must have thought, his cock must have been like that when he got back in the dressing room. Do you know what I mean?
It'll give him a big boost.
Sorry.
You know what I mean? It was unusual to have it, because it's normally, you know, you get things like that if you're signing like a big sign and a top name, you know, that has that type of reception. But I think it is exactly.
You normally get a round of applause, but you don't get a chance.
No, I think it is just, as you say, because everybody was caught up in the moment, the atmosphere building and stuff like that, brought it out, and he gets a huge reception into it. I did feel sorry for Ashby, because he was out there as well, and he must have felt like a little bit of a spare part. But
well, you would though, wouldn't you? Even when they probably said you're going to go out with him, you're like, oh, do I have to go? Like, it's all right, you know, just put my name in the paper. It's found the program, it's fine. You know what I mean? But
so we've currently got over 350 people watching. So those that are watching, if you just want to do us a favor, like the video, become a subscriber. If you want to go on next
300 people that can't sleep because of tonight,
it is, yeah. And I think we'll be the same when we get back. If you want to go the extra step further as well, you can become a member. It's just $2.99 a month. You get extra videos, you get bonus content, you get early access and access to the Telegram group, which I'm yet to look at since full time, because I can imagine that's going absolutely
mad.
Mental. In that group will be absolutely phenomenal in there. So it is just $2.99 a month. And boys, I'll start with you, Digger. Huh? How are you getting to Wembley?
With you in a car. Yeah, so hotel's already booked, which I had booked. It was one of the free cancellation ones, so that was good. And to be honest with you, right, like, I know some people weren't a fan of it, but like, I automatically had my mind on driving. Like, And I don't know what it is, a road trip. Hopefully I'm not driving on the way down. It means I can just drink all the way there. And that's, to me, that's great. A few piss stops and Burger King on the way maybe, and life's good.
Life's good. Mark, any plans?
Got absolutely no idea.
You'll be there though.
Plane, train, automobile, hotels booked, as I say. Might rent a helicopter.
It's one.
I'll jump in there actually if you're going to do that.
If you get a helicopter, we'll come with that. It's one of those moments, though, and I know the debate how tickets will be issued is a whole new conversation, which we'll not get into tonight. But even if you can't get a ticket, you have to make your way down there, because that's Saturday night in Trafalgar
Square. Covent Garden, Trafalgar Square
will be through the roof.
Doesn't know what's going to hit it.
It'll be through the roof. And I wouldn't miss that for the world. I really wouldn't.
Yeah. No, I told you, it's a good point. You know, I think a lot of people are sporting now. Some, you know, it's funny, some people have said, I'm going no matter what. Other people are like, well, I don't really know if I haven't got a ticket, should I really go? And I'm like, absolutely, go. Man. Like, absolutely go. Like, you know,
these moments.
Yeah.
Do not happen regularly enough
yet
to not be there and soak it
my
up.
Man.
Three, obviously, we got two finals back in the late 90s. We had a semi-final at Cardiff against Man United. And I'm just hoping this time around it doesn't go the same way as those three.
And do you know what it is? I very rarely do this, okay, because... I don't need to go into the reasons I don't normally do this, but DW has sent in a comment saying, you boys deserve it for carrying on the channel over the dark moments. we were sat...
There's been a lot of dark moments.
In a pub recording this podcast when Newcastle United were fucking awful, and every single Monday night we used to sit and moan our tits off. It's called the Always Smiling Faces podcast, and we weren't smiling very often. And I'm loving this right now.
There's few and really far between.
It, you know, it was mad because, you know, we used to do the same thing, and we used to always try our best to look at that light at the end of the tunnel and pull
it. Try to have fun with it.
We tried our best. Sometimes the fun was at myself. Sometimes, but yeah, no, I agree. And it's a really nice comment actually, because but you know, listen, all these people watching now watch them days thinking, what the hell, lads? You know, probably I feel for you. How are you going to talk about this shit again? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And we used to try our best. And
we're normally pissed as well.
Normally pissed. That always helps. Alcohol always helps.
It Jason Hobby sends in a comment, also a £5 donation. So thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
He says, is anybody monitoring the Twitter chat for questions? How are the lads? Wembley, here we come. Jason, no, we don't have anybody behind the scenes tonight. I can't jump into Twitter. So
we've got someone,
yeah. I'll jump in it. If you send
us drinking,
I'll have a check of both accounts. I'll check the Gallagher Shots one and the Oars Man and Faces one, see what you've sent in, mate. But we'll have a quick chat. Right, next question is from, it's your mate, Decker. It's from Ashrak. I know it's a bit early as we have three games, but do you go unchanged again for the final? So, Decker, the reason why I'm asking you that question is because you're the one that was asking for changes for tonight.
Yeah, I was.
So if we look at the tie as a two-legged tie, okay, that's 3-1 against Southampton with the same starting 11.
Yeah, you, I think it's. I don't think you can change it, you know. Well, actually, hang on. Let's just go back a second. The work rate, the link-up play, I'm going to focus on the side where my mate plays, between Willock and Joe Linton at times. I know. Is very look at the second goal. Just look at the second goal of how good that was. Right now, that doesn't mean that Maxi's. You can't do something. You can't make a difference in the game. But I feel that the work rate and the chemistry between them two is very, very strong and fantastic. However, the goal that them scored tonight is from Willock giving the ball away very, very cheaply. But that happens. That happens, right? It
a dodgy moment from Bruno as well. Not controlling the ball. Ball it goes kind of past him, doesn't it?
Well, I don't think Bruno's got a chance. Honestly, if you watch, from my angle, Willock plays the ball back.
I thought I was the same as you in the ground. When I've seen that replay back, he's got no chance.
He's got no hope, you know, of getting it. Honestly, he hasn't. To reference the point I'll show you, mate, I'd really think strongly about not playing Wilson, like, because I have sat here and said, I would always stick by your striker, and every strikers go through bad runs, you've just got to stick with them. But it just isn't working, is it? And I don't mean goal scoring. Take the goals out of it, right? I didn't care about them. Miggy's not scoring. I don't care, because Miggy, I still feel I'm getting something out of him. But Wilson just doesn't look the same, does he?
No, it's not nice to see. No. He just he looks a yard short of pace. His touch has just gone to pot. He's not finding the positions and little gaps that he used to find. And it's just, and I don't know. I think when you're in that kind of run of form, it gets harder and harder. I mean, there was a glorious chance he had tonight, and he couldn't get the ball under control. It just kind of bounced in front of him, and just he needs one in off his arse, doesn't he?
Aye, aye. He needs a goal. He's desperate for it.
There's moments in the game tonight, I thought it almost like he's trying too hard. Like, yeah. he's really trying to get the ball in.
But we can look at what's happened with, I know it's a different position, but Longstaff has been having them chances, missing those chances.
Yeah, yeah.
Tonight he gets two and bags them both.
And that's why I sat here 2 weeks ago and said, this is why you stand by your strikers, you stand by them players, because for me, Wilson's got so much in the bank, by the way, because he has been consistent in some dark old days, like, and that's why I love Wilson. I really, really do. But I mean, it's maybe 9 or 10 games now. Again, not about the goals. I'm not bothered about them at the minute.
It's everything else.
It's just everything else.
Yeah.
He did have a tough task up against the defender he was playing against, because he didn't give him a sniff, really.
If we stick the strikers, a couple of people mentioned Isaac as well, saying that he went off, and is that another injury? I think it was a head injury.
I think it was concussion,
wasn't it? Yeah, so that means that came out for 7 days, so he missed the weekend.
Yep.
So Wilson will be starting the West Ham game because he's like just physically calm.
I mean, at least it mustn't be nice for the lad, but at least it's just that. Because when he was down, when he was down as long as he was, I didn't know who it was at first, if I'm honest.
A very weird moment, because he was down and Jason Tindall stopped the medics coming on the field.
Yeah.
He stopped them completely. And Isaac stood up and the referee went over and went, no, it's a head injury, get on.
That was strange. And you know what it is, to be honest, right? We've done these little gamesmanship things, right? I honestly think that was a tactic by him to say, just didn't go on yet, just wait. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think he realised
he
did actually have a... I thought it was just... Because we do it, don't we? We'll take it. We did it before that when they got the free kick and somebody took it, took one and went down on the floor. Maybe Willock, where they just had a little rest and said, oh... I've taken one in my head.
No, Murphy got smashed, didn't he?
So, we do it from time to time. Tindall probably thought that's what it was.
I know, but listen, mate, I'm up for whatever it might be, but I have to draw a line somewhere. Like, I mean, you've got a lad on the floor wanting treatment. Our lads are waiting to get on. He's saying no to try and waste more time. I'm sorry, that doesn't sit great with us. Like, but anyway, listen. He managed to stand up and he walked off, which, first of all, forget it, I didn't know it was concussion at the time. I thought, God, at least he's up, because I was waiting for a stretcher.
We were the same. We thought it was another time-wasting sort of ploy to the game, just to calm it down a bit, because we were backs against the wall at that point, and we just thought, right, calm it down a bit. Hence why Tindall was like, no, because if a physio comes on, he's got to go off.
Yeah.
And that's obviously why the referee ran over and went, no, it's heading.
Yeah, well, he got up at that point as if he was okay.
That's nothing against Tindall, because he probably didn't know at that point what it was.
Yeah.
And as much of the probably won't say they do work on this, they're 100%
do.
100% will.
100%. Yeah.
But it was game management that time. Maybe we just weren't too clever with that one. Maybe we just didn't know what was happening.
It just backfired a little bit. Lack of communication,
so,
I think.
To the point, sorry, I think we were getting that is Wilson will start on Saturday again.
Yeah, 100%.
Because we don't have Isak to play.
Yeah. But while we're talking about players as individuals as well, there's been a couple of comments about Bruno is red card. In the ground, Mark, like I mentioned a couple of times in this, I was sitting near you, and we thought he won that ball cleanly. We are in the Gallagher, we thought he won it cleanly, and we were shocked that he even got a yellow card.
Well, it didn't look like a foul at all from the Gallagher. It literally looked like he's gone, taken the ball off their striker, and he's away with it.
Mm.
So when the referee pulls it back for a free kick, there's a huge reaction, because it just never looked like a free kick at all.
I'm at the least.
And Decker, where were you sat?
Yeah,
you can see the big screen.
Well, yeah. So obviously, in the moment, I'm with you. I'm like, what the hell? That's never a foul. And then obviously, you see the yellow card. And then when I seen the referee going over the side, I went, he's sent off. Yeah.
Well, we said that as soon as
he
goes over, and it's like, oh, something's gone 100%. On here.
And obviously, the big screen was to my left here. Obviously, you've got no chance of seeing that.
Nah.
And I'm sitting to everyone, there's never a red card, this. And then they showed it again on the replay, and I was like, and there was a massive groan of like, oh, like, do you know what I mean? Now, listen, there's no intention of Bruno, I don't believe, to hurt the lad. Like, there's just, I don't think there is, but it's a sending off. It's a red card.
Yeah.
Just, you kind of, you know.
No, I mean, obviously, we saw it after the game, saw the replay, when we get into the pub, and
it's a bad.
It is. It's he catches them high above, like on the side of his leg above the ankle, and it is one of those ones where what on earth? It is. It's a red card, isn't it?
It is. Unfortunately, it is.
But
it's
weird, like how you. It looks so different at the time.
It was just a clumsy late challenge. Yeah. Like I said, there's no intention in it. I don't believe there was. But do you know what it is?
It's Bruno. Like,
could you see that coming, Digger?
He
was agitated, wasn't he?
100%. He was getting more and more wound up as the game went on. And isn't what we've seen it firsthand, right? Celebrating tackles, crying, getting sent off, crying, scoring, crying. He's a very, 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 very emotional guy. And personally, I'm not saying we should have brought him off because that hindsight is wonderful. But I swear to you, I said to my mate, Bruno's not looking like he's looking wound up here. I don't know if someone needs to get a hold of him. And in fairness, actually, I don't know if you've noticed this moment. So after that foul, did you see Trippier run over to the side? He ran over the house and he was pointing at his head going. And it was a very like almost like a Lineker Gazza moment of like, you need to have a word with him because he's losing it. Like,
yeah.
But he got sent off anyway at that moment. But Trippier almost must have realized in that moment we need to get a hold of him because he's starting to, you know, maybe get overruled by the situation and stuff. But what I will say is I thought Bruno played very, very well. And I thought he did a fantastic job on Ward-Prowse as well. I thought that was the battle in midfield that I thought was key. And I thought Bruno came up.
What do you think about the referee tonight? There was that times where he lost a bit of control, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that added to the frustration that we were seeing because he was letting things go, but then he'd pull stupid little things up. And then he gave a booking after some of the tackles that had been going in instances which were much worse. But like he just, I don't know, it was just a strange old game where...
I'm glad you took that head off that pint. It
was a lovely bit of fun.
He just couldn't, I don't know, it almost felt at times he was just trying
to get them to score.
Get Southampton into the game
with
some of his decisions and particularly like free kicks in and around the box.
I didn't come away from the game thinking badly of the ref, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not saying he had a good game by any stretch.
But I think the result helps with that.
It does. I've come away from games going, that referee was disgusting.
Yeah.
I didn't really feel
that. What Thomas said, he said, as frustrating as the ref was at times, it helped reignite the atmosphere. And it did.
Do you know what it is? Back in the old days, the dark days.
Those were the best times in James's Park.
That probably was the only thing I got with going. The was loudest, the bad ref.
So the two times that I remember seeing James's Park being the loudest it ever has been is when Michael Owen came on, because that was loud. that booing. Yeah. And when Tioti's goal got ruled out against Man City. Was it Man City?
It was Man City, wasn't it?
That was honestly, the noise that was coming from all four stands was unbelievable that game.
You're right. And it is normally, again, in them days, it was a bad decision, wasn't it? Because we didn't have many good moments in games.
And Isaac Hayden sliding tackle would get that result as well.
Yeah.
What?
Isaac Hayden sliding tackle would always get that result of the big roar.
All right, okay. Cheer. Okay, yeah.
Max used to be 10 players and he would boo.
So Jason Hobby has sent in another £5. Thanks, Jason. It's like the old days where Jason Hobby keeps on sending fiver in.
I keep the fiver.
He sent a fiver in that says, if we appeal, it's a longer ban. So we just accept 3 games. Let Bruno rest and be ready for the final. By the way, Wembley, here we come.
Yeah,
you can't appeal that. It was
there's
a red
no
card
appeal there, on. Like, for me.
It was late, but it's a red card. If that was on one of our players on the receiving end of that, I'm expecting a red card.
Oh, Christ,
100%.
Yeah, I think you wrap him up in cotton wool, enjoy himself, and have a quiet word as well at the same time.
Yeah.
I think just you know, when you're feisty and you don't want to take that out with a lad, you don't. But you've also got to say, gotta be careful. You gotta be careful.
Well, I haven't mentioned.
We all think about the final, and rightfully we should be. But we're sitting third in the Premier League, and we're going to lose our best player for 3 games. That's not good. You know what I mean?
What we haven't mentioned.
Did you just say that?
I said best player, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. You've changed. So what haven't mentioned?
I think Longstaff's the best.
John Joe Shelby at half time as well. So John Joe comes on. I missed
Neil JR sent in a question about that.
Okay, what was the question?
Oh, I can't remember now.
Are you ready?
Neil GR, he's another one. Neil GR is like, Ashley Pubd is regular, isn't he?
From Wales.
Neil's your from Wales, aye.
So Neil Jr. says, I'm glad Shelby had his moment at half time to say goodbye and was in the team fort at full time. I thought that was a nice touch. Massive player for NUFC and a huge part of where we are now. Wish him all the best.
I couldn't agree more. And do you know what's mad as well, right? And this is where I think sometimes us as fans get bad slack, you know, where we want the world and we expect this and we demand too much. And we've basically applauded a player at half time who, let's be realistic, right, hasn't won with anything, really.
He's no standout player.
Wait, Championship, he was a great part of who won the Championship.
He's not a standout player in Newcastle's history.
And there'll be loads of other clubs out there, they'll go, fuck me, you kept John Joe Shelby at half time. Like, they will. But that proves
he did get a surprising welcome for me and the chanting and stuff like that. And it's strange for me because it's safe to say me and John Joe Shelby have had a love-hate relationship over the years. There's been times, at least twice, I can remember where I've said I've never want to see him in a black and white shirt again. I've sat here and said that. But then it comes to a point where I think probably in the last 12 months, he's just had a complete 180 for me. And like that latter half of last season, he was fantastic.
We mentioned Anthony Gordon getting that reception. It was probably a similar point of view as well when you look at Shelby coming out half-time. Everybody's in the moment. Everybody's been buzzing tonight. And probably that's why it happened.
It is fantastic.
You don't normally get that sort
of thing. It is fantastic for him. We brought the kids out onto the pitch as well. Like that's a moment that is going to live with him for a long time. So I'm appreciative of that he had that moment. But it's unusual to ever see that happen where a player that you're selling, you bring them on the pitch and say goodbye. It just never happens. But
And I think that proves of how we are as a club now, aren't we? We are just different, aren't we?
But it just different. Never mind the club, it just shows you how we are as a team. The fact that he's gone to Nottingham today, done his medical, signed for Nottingham, and wanted to come back up and experience this moment. Yeah, it just shows you how united. I know that's cliche, but how united this team is.
Well, I was saying he didn't want him to go.
Yeah.
But he's made that choice for football reasons. He's more likely to get games there than he is here. I mean, it's only recently that he talked about, you know, wanting to be part of the future of the club and where it's going to be and coming back and being able to enjoy that in the future and stuff like that. So he's probably done that tonight, just came and been a fan of the team and the club and to witness that moment.
I mean, I said last night, sitting here, was last night, wasn't
it? It was
a lifetime ago. So last night when I was here...
Technically, it was the night before because it's after midnight now.
Let's just get a bed here.
There's a duvet over there, mate.
I thought for all parties, it was a dream scenario for all parties. Everyone's happy with the outcome and it was a bit of a bore on it tonight with him getting what he got at halftime.
Anything that you used to want to mention before we're calling tonight? Like Mark said, it's now 12:20.
I'm late for work anyway now. Port, you'll be watching still, hopefully. He said,
that fucking Man U fan again.
Yeah, but what he's saying is, obviously...
It's a Newcastle podcast, you know.
I know. He's got a question for you. He says, what do you think of the final? So I'll tell you what he
said. Oh, battle them?
So,
I can't wait for Forest to get to the final.
So obviously, well, now they're getting through, right? Well, now. So he said, see what the lads' predictions are for the final for a question mate. I'm going 0-0 and then penalties. Both solid defensively and be nervy.
Nah, do you know what? I'm full of confidence. I really am.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. I don't care what Man United are doing right now. I know Rashford's on fire. But so are we. I honestly think we can go to Wembley and absolutely ruin any team that gets put in front of us.
Well, I'm not that confident. So,
do you want to sip of this drink?
That's going to be a tough old game. Like,
it's going to be tough.
The size of that Wembley pitch worries me.
Why? We are literally the fittest team in the Premier League.
Yeah, but that pitch is big. That's a lot of closing down to do.
It gives them
a lot of space to be able to cause us issues at the back.
But we can cause them.
You can't. It's just.
I think there's two ways to look at this, right? Because you'll do this. Yeah, you'll flip it on its head. But I always sometimes go into big games like this, and I just think that they may have players that have been there before plenty of times, you know, and they'll. Them know how to get over the line in big games like Pod, you saying that. Whereas then you could fit them in, go, yeah, but we've got no fear. We're hungry. We want, no, you know what I mean?
Like, you can look at, I get that. You can look at the likes of Q and Trippier. That's been a big, big games.
But you go, I mean, I've got Casemiro in midfield who's done it all. You know what I mean? It's going to be tough. But listen, end of the day, that's a preview. That's a video for many weeks down the road.
The bottom line is
we've done it and we're there. And do you know what it is? As you've probably said, right, we take on whoever's in front of us and we'll just enjoy the moment.
We can just send Anika around everybody's house and just two-foot them all.
He was on one, wasn't he?
He was an absolute agent.
He was definitely doing that, wasn't he, on purpose?
100%.
He's eliminated Ericsson from the game. Like, so.
I know. It's mad to think, though, that you've just said 3 weeks' time we'll do that preview. 4 weeks' time, it'll be done, dusted, and we could be sat here
with the trophy there.
Carabao Cup winners or runners-up.
If we win it, I'm going to buy the replica, can't you? We'll have to buy it.
Do you know what it is, right?
We'll have to.
And I'll say this now, just as we're calling a night on this one, I'll say this, that we've got to the cup final. That's enough for me right now. We can go there with no pressure as a fan base. The players, yes, they'll want to win. We want to win. Of course we do, but pressure off.
The best thing about getting to Wembley
is a Saturday night before the game.
Is everything in and around that game.
Yeah.
That 90 minutes or however long, if it goes to extra time, etc., is the worst time you'll ever experience in your life because it's horrendous. It's horrific because of how important that game is. I've never been in a situation, obviously, where we've got been on the opposite side of that, where we can take that in and be able to dream for a moment of being ahead or something like that, or leading in the game. So,
but Mark, we can do that. If you look at this team, we can do that.
But equally, we've been here before. I've been there before, and that's what worries us.
We've been there before.
We were a good team at those times.
We were a very good team going forward, not defensively. Yeah. That's where the rules have changed now. We are very, very good defensively.
Yeah, right, I think I have to agree, right? It's 24 years since the last time we got there, right? Which is factual. There's never been a better time than now for us to win it. There hasn't been. And I agree with Chris in this regard that we will give anyone a game on our day. And we've proven that time and time again. So,
Bestie's joining. Hi, Bestie.
Oh, Bestie, lad.
Good to see you, mate. I missed a Bestie hug at half time.
Bestie cuddles at the match.
I missed him at half time. Sorry about that, Bestie. Thanks, everybody that has joined you at night. It's been an absolute pleasure. I hope you are all as buzzing as what we are. There's over 400 people watching tonight. What time is it?
Let's go to half past. It's 5 minutes.
I need a piss.
Oh, yeah.
we'll end it. All right, we've been going 50 minutes. We said half an hour.
There's 400 people watching. If there were 10 people watching, I'd say turn it off. Like, if there's 400 people.
Remember that one podcast you done? There's two people watching.
Yeah.
And I was one of them.
You were one of them. Me ma was the other.
That wasn't our.
Tell me ma, you know.
That wasn't our podcast, me at.
Thanks, everybody that has joined me tonight. Like I mentioned, if you do just want to like the video, it means a lot to us. Just help us out a little bit. We're hoping to get 10,000 subscribers. Well, not too far off it. Tell your ma to subscribe. Like I mentioned earlier in the podcast as well, if you just want to become a member, it's $2.99 a month, next to nothing, less than a pint these days. So
my Guinness was £7 wherever I was somewhere.
Wow.
There's over 700 messages in the Telegram group right now since the end of the game.
So if you become a member, you get access to those 700 messages that sat there waiting for you as well. It's absolutely buzzing. I'm like a proud parent of that Telegram group because there's a lot of relationships being formed in that group as well. And there's a lot of chat about Wembley and people meeting up before Wembley. Nice. The people that don't have tickets and know that they won't get tickets to that game, trying to arrange what they're going to do the night before and where they're going to watch.
There's a lot of clamour for a Gallagher Shots meetup.
There is.
That would be mint, wouldn't it?
Be mint,
That would be mint, you know. That would be good, though, wouldn't it? That'd be lovely.
Thanks, everybody. Go and enjoy the rest of, I'm going to say, night, morning, whatever you're doing.
Enjoy wanking.
Enjoy this moment. We're going to enjoy it. See you later. We're going to Wembley. Degger, sign you out.
Tell me, Maya, now.
Get it.